Guys, just really quickly before I actually get into my talk, when we were in the worship, I felt like God wants to say something to somebody. I don't know who it is, but the phrase that I had was, do it afraid. And actually, this is Ben's first time leading here. It's a scary thing. This is only my third time speaking, and that's quite a scary thing. But I just wanted to say, I feel like there's somebody here who actually God's been putting something on your heart that he wants you to be moving forward into, but it's a bit scary. And I just want to say go for it, because actually, I remember my first time leading, and I was just freaked out like mad and thinking, oh my goodness, I can't believe I've got to do this. And then actually, now I'm speaking, so... You know, God's with you every step of the way, and you'll never get to a place where you're feeling confident before you do something new. You're always going to be scared. So I just want to say, do it afraid. If that's you, then please go for it. As you probably picked up on by now, today is the second in our series on identity. And I love that video clip that Ben and Mark put together to show us at the beginning, especially the very first guy that's up there who basically goes on about identity and says it's the question of the ages. And for me, I think that's really true. It's one of the most fundamental questions in life for each one of us. It's a question that many people spend their entire lifetime asking those questions, seeking the answer to those questions. Who am I? Why do I exist? Why am I here? What's the whole point of all this? And personally, I think that the Bible has some amazing things to say on the subject. So I'm really excited for this morning to be able to get the opportunity to share some of those with you. But first of all, obviously, we've actually had the first talk in the series 2 weeks ago by the wonderful Chris Jones. 2 weeks is quite a long time by anyone's standard. So I'm going to do a quick spot test. I'd like to shout out anything you remember from week one of identity. Not you, Chris. You're not allowed to join in this bit. That's cheating. But anything you remember from 2 weeks ago, either that Jonathan brought when he was leading or that Chris said in his talk. Go. We are God's masterpiece. Yep, that was from 2 weeks ago. Anything else? Yep. We're on a journey. Made in the image of God. Anything else we can remember? Yes, that we're spirit. That was a really big one. That God is spirit. We're made in his image, so we are spirit. And what was his last point? Go on. You can do it. Begins with an L. No, I know the question's not, the answer's normally love, but this time it was life. So we're made to have life and life in all its fullness, and that is available for us in Jesus. So that's just a really quick précis for anyone who wasn't there. It's some of the things we talked about 2 weeks ago. Now, I'm actually going to be talking today, and unfortunately for you guys, next week as well, because I'm such a talky person. When I prepared my talk, I was like, oh my goodness, it's going to be like 50 minutes long. So fortunately, Kerry was very kind to me and said that I can talk next week as well. So basically today, we're going to be just looking at the question, who am I? And we're going to be looking at that from a biblical perspective. Then next week, we're going to be looking at the question, who am I in Christ? And looking at, okay, if I've made the decision to follow Jesus, I've asked him into my life, what impact does that have on my identity? And that's what we'll be looking at next week. But first of all, I had a bit of a crazy idea. Welcome team, if you guys can come up and help me really quickly. We're going to get, today seems to be the day of post-it notes, because my little game also involves post-it notes. So these guys are going to come round. Everybody needs a post-it note, and you all need a pen as well. So if you haven't got a pen, wave your hand, because the welcome team will also come round with some pens. And what I would like you to do, you probably played the party game Who Am I, where basically you have an identity stuck on your head, some sort of famous person, and then you've got a few minutes to try and ask yes or no questions to get the answer to who are you. So what I'd like you to do, when you've got your piece of paper and a pen, I'd like you to write a famous person on that piece of paper. So it can be anybody, somebody that hopefully everybody would know, they can be alive, somebody from history, whatever you think, somebody famous on TV, whoever you like. Don't show it to anybody around you. So we need the baskets that have got the pens in, guys, as well. I don't know where they all got put. Why did he put them away? That's fine. Share pens with people around you. So if you haven't got a pen, just look around. Try and grab one for someone else who's nearby you. Put a name on there for me. Don't show it to anyone around you. And then in a second, once we've all written our names down, I'm going to say go. You've got to go and find somebody, swap with them, and then you've got 3 minutes to ask each other questions and try to find out the identity of the person that's on your forehead. So make sure nobody sees it as you're writing it down. Have you got one? Got a pen? Ah, no one's got pens. This is a disaster. I knew I should have brought my spare ones. pens? Mike's got pens in the middle. Right. I think the easiest thing to do, can you stand up if you've got your piece of paper and you've got a name written on it? Then I can see when I can say go and start the timer. Fantastic. So the instructions are, write a famous person on your piece of paper. Then in a second when I say go, you've got to find somebody, swap with them and stick yours on their forehead and they stick theirs on your forehead. Okay, don't make sure you don't see what the other person's giving you. And then you basically got to ask each other yes or no questions. So you might say, am I a girl? Am I dead? Am I alive? Or am I on TV? You basically got to ask a series of questions to try to find out the identity of the person that is stuck on your forehead. Once you've got it, come up to me, because the first three people to guess, Thornton's people, are going to get some chocolates. But you've only got 3 minutes, so if no one gets it in 3 minutes, I get to take all these home. Okay, so stand up if you've got your piece of paper, you've got your thing on. I'd like you to go and find a partner, swap with them, and your time starts now. You've got 3 minutes. No cheating. Try and find some. Tony, you can't play with your kid. You can't swap with him. That's cheating. Okay, first prize is gone to Matt Jones. Okay, there are two prizes to go, and you've got 2 minutes and 10 seconds left. No, just one of you. Even if one of you gets it, you come and get a prize. Andy Reid. Oh, and Stephen. Right, the rest of you, I'm going to give you one last minute to try to guess your person. All the prizes have gone, so now if you get your person, it's just the satisfaction of winning the game before the time is up. 30 seconds to go, people. Well, feel free to share your sweets then. Yeah, all the sweeties are gone. You might be able to get one from someone, if they're kind. Okay, fantastic, guys. Right, if you haven't guessed yet, would you like to take it off and have a look, see who you are trying to guess? And then if you'd like to take your seats again for me, that would be awesome. We're going to make a start. Okay, amazing, guys. If you can take your seats, that would be great. I hope you enjoyed that little game, a little bit of fun to start off the session. Fantastic. Right, so 2 weeks ago, as Kerry said a minute ago, 2 weeks ago we started to look at the issue of identity. And one of the things that Jonathan brought to us was from Ephesians 2 verse 10, where it says, the Bible calls us God's masterpiece. Now, I looked up the word masterpiece, and it means an artist's greatest work. So a work of outstanding creativity, skill, and workmanship. It was the one piece that a journeyman would be like putting all his heart and attention and effort into so that he could become, stop being an apprentice and become an artisan. It was the biggest thing, the most important thing that he ever made. And human beings are the best of God's creative genius. We're his best moment of inspiration. When he was brainstorming and throwing ideas around before the world began, thinking about what he could do, we are the thing that he got most excited about making. And that's amazing. And Psalm 139 makes it much more personal, that concept. And it says that each one of us is God's workmanship. That he watched us being formed. He knit us together in our mother's womb. that he saw us before we were born. He saw me before I was born. He knew what my life would be. He knew who I was going to be. And in verse 17, which is one of my favourite verses, it goes on to say this. Now, my version here is a little bit different top there, so I apologise. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And I don't know about for you, but for me, even if that's all I knew about myself, that's enough to blow me away. That actually I have been dreamed up by God. That I'm the imagination of his heart. The God of the universe is amazing. That when his creative juices were flowing, he thought of me. And actually he has innumerous thoughts about me. And that's the most one of the most incredible things, I think, that we learn about ourselves from what the Bible says about who we are. As Lixie said earlier with the kids, that we are somebody dreamed up and designed by God. We're somebody dreamed up and designed by God. And in the book of Genesis, we're going to spend a little bit of time there. For those of you who don't know, it's right at the beginning of the Bible. It's the account of the creation of the world, right at the start of the Bible. And it contains some amazing truths on this whole issue of identity. And we're going to look at that next. So Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, records God saying something really amazing when he made us. So then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals, small animals, everything pretty much." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And for loads of us, those words, we've heard them a million times, it feels like, that, you know, we don't even stop to think about how amazing it is. But the first phrase, then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." And that's my second point. I don't know what's going on with that. Sorry, you can't quite see some of the points. But I am made to be like God. I am made to be like God. And that subject is like the subject of a whole talk in itself. But I'm just going to pull out two really key things that we see just in those verses we've looked at about the way that God has made us to be like him in his image. And the first one is in terms of authority. So it said they will reign over the fish in the sea, everything that's on the earth, basically. When God made us right at the beginning, he put us in a position of authority. He basically made everything and then he made us and he goes, "Here you go, this belongs to you. I'm going to give this to you." He put us in charge of everything that he made. And it says later in chapter 2, when he put Adam in the Garden of Eden, he put him there to tend it, to keep it, to care it, in a position of great trust and responsibility to steward and look after everything that he's made. Oh dear. And then the second way that's really clear, well, first of all, let me just say, for me, I'm quite a visual picture person. I love that picture of Narnia. For those of you that don't know the story, the lion kind of represents God, and he made Narnia, and then he basically put these four children in charge of it as the kings and the queens. And you kind of feel like it's a little bit like that with us, you know. Oh my goodness, God, you gave me all of that responsibility. I'm only a kid, but actually he puts us in this great, amazing position of trust and responsibility. And the second way that those verses in Genesis that we looked at, verses 26 and 27 of chapter 1, show really clearly that we're made in God's image is in terms of relationship. We were made to live in loving relationships. And right from the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we see glimpses of the Trinity, the fact that God is not just one God, but that he's three beings somehow in one. We've looked at that in September. Hopefully some of you have got some amazing truths out of that. But right at the beginning of the Bible, you see God, and it says God created, and then it says his spirit was present there. It was hovering over the water, and he spoke his word, who we now know as Jesus, to create life. And here in these verses, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And for me, when I think about the Trinity, it's a hard concept to get around, but for me, I think of like a fellowship. I think of a team, like the most amazing team that you could work in, where everyone's on the same page and you're all kind of going for this one thing and you're spinning ideas off each other. And, you know, when you're working together for something big, it's this place of excitement and where every member of the team is really valued and their input is valued, and they're enjoying this amazingly close, loving, kind of almost family relationship. And actually, that's what we were made to image. That's what we were made to be like. You know, we were made for family, for friendship, for love, and it's clearly stamped on our hearts. You know, for everybody, if you ask them what's the most important thing in life, people will say love. People will say my family, my friends, the people who matter most to us. That's what matters most. And that is the way that we are innately like God. That's a way that we were made to be like him in our relationships. In John 4, verse 16, it says, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And that's another reason why we exist, because God is love. You know, if you think about him at the beginning, he's this amazingly loving, close bunch of relationships where there's all this joy and goodness and excitement in just who he is. And that love that existed there with him the whole time was so good that he was just like, I want more of this. I want a family. I want this to grow. I don't want it to just be the three of us. Let's make more to enjoy this with us because it's so good. Let's multiply it. Let's have kids. And that's why he made us to be his kids, to share in this amazing relationship that the Trinity have within them and to be part of it. We were made to live in God and to have him live in us. Loved beyond all measure and with an incredible capacity for love. I am loved beyond all measure and I am created to live in love. So, back to Genesis again, chapter 2, verse 7. It says, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. And in the whole biblical record of creation, man is the only being on the planet that it records this special thing happening. All the animals, it's just like, oh, God said this, and this animal appeared. But with human beings, we're the only ones that it said God breathed his own life into. And for me, there's really two really significant points to do with our identity that you can take from that whole concept. And the first is that we were made for eternal life. So I am made for eternity. And this is, for me, just a logical step because God's life is eternal and he breathed his life into me, into us. Therefore, it makes sense that that's what he intended to us. And it also makes sense of the fact that actually right back at the beginning when Adam and Eve's actions cut themselves off from relationship with God, that the result of that separation with God was death. So when we read, there's a verse that says the wages of sin is death, and it's often you sort of think of that in terms of like a punishment. Oh, that's God's punishment on us because we disobeyed him. But actually it's not like that. It's like a natural consequence. If you cut yourself off from the source of life, then the only thing left is death. And for Adam and Eve, it was initially spiritual death and then much later physical death. But it's kind of natural for me. It follows on logically that that's the case. And Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he, that is God, has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. And that's true. It's like somewhere deep in down inside each one of us, we know that we should live forever. We know that we created for more than just the short life that we are on this earth. And, you know, nobody likes aging. We all have this idea. We want to stay forever young. And lots of the movies that you watch or books that you read, when they have a villain, one of the key things that people are always searching for is eternal life. So I don't know if you guys have seen Stardust or if you've seen Snow White and the Huntsman, but all these wicked witches, the main sort of goal for them is to stay around forever. And they're constantly stealing life and stealing beauty and youth from other people in order for them to prolong their own lives. Fortunately, that's not the way we have to do it. But actually, it's another reason. We know that we were made for eternity. And that's why death is so hard to accept. Because we know it shouldn't happen. It's like deep down inside, we try and think like it's just a natural part of life, but deep down inside, something inside of us is saying, no, it's not. This shouldn't happen. And it's because we know that we were made for eternal life. And I think that verse kind of sums it up, because it's like he's planted it in our hearts. We know it's there. We know it's true. But yet we're in this confusion where we're like, yeah, but people die and what's happening, and that's not right. And we can't see the big picture, the big story that God's painting, which means actually, yes, this is what you're made for. And from that same verse, Genesis 2:7, we basically see this amazing, unique combination of the dirt and dust of the earth, God forming the dirt and the dust, breathing the breath of heaven into it. And many of you might have heard Kristen say this phrase, but it's something that's always spoken to me and touched me. And it's the fact that I am the touch point between heaven and earth. And as human beings, we are the bridging point between this physical reality that we live in and the spiritual reality that we can't see. So the physical that we can see and what we can't see. And it's something that's always impacted me on a personal level, because actually God breathed his breath, the breath of heaven, the breath of life into me. And that's what I should be taking with me wherever I go. I shouldn't just be of this world, but I need to be connected to heaven, connected to a spiritual dimension, the world that I can't see. And that reality is just as strong for me as this reality. But actually, that's a world that a lot of people nowadays don't even believe in. They don't believe that it exists, or they go the other extreme and they try to connect it with it in a really harmful, dangerous way. Actually, our connection is meant to be with our Father, and that's how we live. As Chris talked about last time, we talked about the fact that God is spirit and therefore we are spirit. And we're meant to have that spirit connection with heaven, with our Heavenly Father. And it's a two-way thing, something that isn't just impacting me and going upwards, but something where heaven can actually impact the world that we live in. Like in the song that we were just singing with Andy about when we sing as Christians, we want heaven to come down to earth. What we're saying is, I want to be connected with heaven and I want to live that out in my life and be God's hands and God's feet and his heart getting out there to people. So I'm the touch point between heaven and earth. Now, you can't have a good sermon without John 3:16. For God so loved the world. This is an amazing verse, and we've heard everything that I've said today, you guys will have heard a million times, but actually it's fundamental, foundational truth that our hearts need to know. And this verse is one of those things. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, because that was never his plan for us, but should have eternal life. And there's an amazing verse in the book of Revelation, which is right at the end of the Bible. So I've gone beginning and end. It's chapter 13, verse 8, for those that are interested. And there's this incredible phrase where it's talking about Jesus, and it calls him, it says, mentions Jesus as being slain before the world was made. And for me, that's one, we've looked at some amazing things this morning, but that's one of the most amazing. And it's one of the things for me personally that actually really grabbed my heart initially when I was first, when I first became a Christian. And it's something that still blows me away, that before God made the universe, before he uttered the first word to make the first atom or the light or whatever it was, a photon appear, he knew what was going to happen. He knew that in giving us the choice to love him or not love him, to be in relationship with him or not, he knew that we were going to make the choice not to. And he knew what that was going to cost him. They made that decision beforehand. Even though I know this is all going to go wrong, he knew we were going to rebel, turn our backs on him. He knew what it was going to cost him, that it was going to cost him Jesus to fix that damage to the relationship we'd done, to make a way back to him. He knew it was going to cost him everything. But he went for it anyway, because he loves us and he thinks that we are worth it. I am worth everything to God, because he was prepared to give everything for me. And it struck me again recently what an amazing thing God did in sending Jesus for us. In becoming human himself, Colossians 2 verse 9 says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. And it wasn't just a temporary thing for the 33 years that Jesus was living on the planet, and then he went back to heaven and everything went back to normal again. Actually, God is and will always be different now because of what he's done in sending Jesus. Jesus is always going to exist in a body now. It's a resurrected body because he died and came back to life again, and he's up in heaven in this body, but he is in a body. And that's different. So God, who is the Trinity, who had this amazing thing going on right at the beginning with all three of them enjoying everything, he made a fundamental change to who he was so that he could make space for us. And it's always going to be different now, but he knew, actually, to give us the chance to share eternity and share this amazing love and this amazing relationship with him. He wanted to give us the chance at that, even though he gave us the chance to reject that at the same time, which is amazing. That God changed who he was to make space for me. And these truths give me great value and worth. I'm just going to put them all up, actually. I've got to think they're on the next slide. These truths, they help me to see my purpose in life. They help me to know who I am and why I'm here. So it's not surprising that they've been severely attacked and squashed by the enemy. The same enemy that tricked and lied to Adam and Eve in the garden, that actually tricked them into giving up their birthright, to giving up that authority, to making that break in their relationship. Actually, he wants us to believe the lies that we're just the product of random chance. He wants us to think that. He wants me to think that I'm nothing more than the atoms that make up my body. That there is no spirit. There's no spiritual. That's just all a myth. He wants me to think that I'm only as good as the car that I drive or the looks of the person I'm dating, and that when I die, that's it. I don't exist anymore. He wants me to believe those lies and be confused about who I am and where I'm going and why I exist. But it's not true. I am somebody dreamed up and designed by God. I am made to be like God. I am loved beyond all measure and created to live in love. I am made for eternity. I am the touch point between heaven and earth. And I am worth everything to God. And what I'd like to do, just as we finish this morning, it's not very British, so please excuse me. But actually, I'd like us all to stand, if we're able to. If you're not and you need to keep sitting, that's fine. But I'd like us to stand, and I'd like us to actually put our hands on our heart, and I'd like us to declare these truths over ourselves, one at a time, and speak them into the deep parts of us that need to hear them, that need to know that this is the case. So obviously, if that's not what you want to do, that's fine. But I'd really appreciate if you'd join me in this. So hands on the heart, people, and let's declare this truth over ourselves. I am somebody dreamed up and designed by God. I am made to be like God. I am loved beyond all measure and created to live in love. I am made for eternity. I am the touch point between heaven and earth. I am worth everything to God. And Father God, we just want to say thank you. Just blown away again by you this morning, by these truths which speak such hope and amazement into our hearts. That you knew what was going to happen before you made us, it wasn't all an accident, didn't all go wrong at the last minute and you didn't know what to do, but you had a plan in place right there at the beginning, before you even made us. A plan to rescue us, to give us a way back to you, to give us a way back to the identity that you created us to live in. Which is incredible, that of being part of you, living with you in eternity, enjoying the love that you enjoy. And we just want to say thank you for that, Father, and want to ask Holy Spirit that you would come and speak to any areas of our hearts where maybe the lies of the enemy have taken root. And some of these things, when we read them, we just can't quite believe them about ourselves. So we just want to ask you to come and speak your truth and just wash away any of those lies that we've been believing and living by. Yeah, Father, we just thank you because you're amazing. Okay, guys, if you just take a seat for a second. So I liked what Chris did in his talk, a little what now section for you to have a think about what you might want to do in terms of response. I've got some copies of my notes. So if at the end you think, actually, I'd really like to look into some of those things a little bit more for myself, come up and see me. I've got some copy of my notes. If there's too many people wanting them, then I can take your email address. That's fine. And I would just really encourage you, if there's something that's spoken, that God's spoken to you today, or one of those points that you just think, oh, I want to look into that a little bit more, take the notes, get into your Bible, start looking up some verses and start just investigating that for yourself. Another thing that you can do that I've been doing over the last, well, just a few days actually, somebody gave me this book by John Eldridge, which is called Epic, and it's an incredible book. It says, it's called The Story God is Telling, and it basically is looking at our identity, but in terms of recognizing the story that we are a part of. So saying part of the reason that we're confused about our identity is because we don't know the big story that we belong to. It's like we've just been plonked into the middle scene of this movie. Everything's going on and we've got no idea who we are and where we fit into it all. He kind of tells that big epic story of God and his love for us and lots of the things we've been talking about today. So that's a really good book. If you're interested, have a chat to Tony at the end. I know that he'll be able to order copies for you. we're going to have a few minutes now. We've got a video with a song that we can just play to chill out and have some reflection time. If you're on the prayer team, if you wouldn't mind coming up and just being over underneath the screen there, and if anybody wants to go and get some prayer for anything, then you can do that. Or you can just sit and chill and reflect and have a think while that song's playing. And it might be, actually, for some of you today, that the stuff I've been talking about at the front is completely new to you. And actually, you might be thinking, that's incredible. I want some of that. Whatever that is, that's amazing. And if that's the case, come and see me, please. I'm going to be over with the prayer team. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to introduce you to Jesus and to our Father who loves you so much. Or actually, you might be in that place, but you might be thinking, well, no, I've still got loads of questions. And some of the things you said didn't make sense. And I don't agree with that. And what about this? And that is also a great place to be. We run an alpha course every now and then. Probably be one another one starting in January. And that's just a space for you to come, question, think, argue, bat ideas around, look a bit more into what the Bible says about some of these different things and any questions that you might still have about Christianity and about faith and about God. So that's just a chance for you to explore that. And again, pop and see me at the end because I've got some leaflets I can give you about that. So guys, if we can pop that video on and then a prayer team, let's go. But yeah, have a chill, guys, and just have a chat with God where you are, if that's what you'd like to do, or come up and get prayed for.